Well, for starters, I did not grow up in a Christian home, but we did go to church, and we said our prayers at night, and we had grace and that sort of thing, but there wasn't a lot of talk about Jesus or anything like that. I do remember at a very young age, I went to Vacation Bible School, and I absolutely loved it, and I always felt like God was a really safe place to be, you know, and I just think I fell in love with Jesus then. You know, because I just, and I really have a heart for our children's ministry because of that, because, you know, I feel that God has just pursued me. You know, he's been chasing me down for my entire life. And I just know that without a doubt. I had perceived our family life to be like, you know, Leave It to Beaver. You know, everything was cool, very, you know, normal and, you know, nothing askew, everything very, you know, Leave It to Beaver. And but it wasn't until I was about probably 9 years old or 8 or 9 years old when it became obvious that it was not like that at all. My mom was an alcoholic and she was drinking, and that had a major impact, of course, on the family, as those things do. My dad also, he was never around. He traveled, you know, to raise the family. I have a brother and a sister, so there was all five of us. So pretty much an absent dad and then a mom who was dying of this disease, which in fact she did. She died when I was 11. And at that point, my dad kind of got us together and told, my brother was 16, my sister was 14, I was 11, and my dad said, well, what do you guys want to do? I know that's not a good idea, but you know what I mean? It was like, well, do you want a nanny? You know, do you want somebody coming in to watch you guys? What would you like to do? Or, and then he did the or would you want to just stick together as a family and we'll, you know, do it ourselves? Well, of course, we said, well, yeah, we don't want anybody coming in. So, you know, very bad parenting at that point. But so that's what we did. And my dad, after the first summer, I went to Iowa with my grandma. And then I came back and my dad continued to do what he did. He designed deep sea oil drilling ships. So he traveled all over the world. And so there we were, 16, 14, and 11 to raise ourselves. And it was in that 60s time, you know, and we just ran amok. We just totally ran amok. My brother, you know, it was just one big party. I'll just put it that way. I'd come home from school and people would be lying all over the floors, you know, and it was just crazy, you know. And I did a lot of truancy. I started running away from home. And, you know, somewhere along the line, I got the message that I had to take care of myself. Obviously, you know, but I got into a survival mode. And what I know today is that, you know, because of other experiences as well, I couldn't let anybody in to really love me or know me, because I really felt that if I did, or if I let open my heart, that you would die or you'd go away or something would happen. So I had a lot of walls up for many, many years. And with that, you know, came a feeling of, you know, I don't know which came before, the chicken or the egg, but I do know as a child as well that I felt like I wasn't enough. I always felt like everybody knew what to do in the world, you know, but I didn't get the instructions. No, you know, no one told me how to live. And always felt away, you know, not a part of in any way. Very, very awkward. And so as I was going through this time, my adolescence time, running around doing whatever I wanted to, I started experimenting with drugs and alcohol, and it worked really well for me. It made me feel really good. I felt accepted. I felt good about myself. I felt pretty. I could talk to people. You know, it just worked for me. Well, suffice it to say, there went 25 years of that behavior, which, of course, it doesn't work. You know, it doesn't stay that way. And I have a long history of violence, abuse. You know, I lived that lifestyle for many, many years. And, you know, it wasn't pretty at all. At one point, I mean, I wouldn't go anywhere without a gun. And was in a lot of different abusive, not a lot, I was in two really abusive relationships where I just felt trapped and I couldn't leave because where was I going to go? So fast forward, after that, many years later, I got into a program of recovery, And by the time I got there, I was so far away from Jesus, anything like that, that when I got into the program, it's a 12-step program, and basically they're... the idea is that you find a power greater than yourself to rely on, you know, and there's the higher power thing. So as I was in this program, I could pretty much do the higher power thing. But I was so far away from Christ that if anybody talked about Jesus, it actually put the hair up on my neck. I would just be like, ugh. And I'm not sure where that came from, if it wasn't for the Jerry Falwells and all that stuff that was going on in those days that Satan obviously used to keep people from from getting, you know, the message of Christ. But about that time, I was doing a lot of different, I was going to school, I was going to get a career, and the Lord brought a woman into my life in my algebra class, and we had kind of similar paths, but we would talk about, you know, God, and she would talk about Jesus. And I just, she never really pushed it on me, but she just had these little seeds planted, and she actually pursued me. She'd be calling me up every day and come on out to church, and I was like, why is she calling me? You know, what does she like me for? But as a year went by, we ended up in chemistry class. It was funny because I was sitting in between this woman and then this other guy who was a Christian. So they had me surrounded, and they would be talking their stuff, you know? And about that same time, I had pretty much switched obsessions. You know, I, of course, the drugs and the alcohol were gone, but I was—I got into over-exercising. You know, under-eating, over-exercising. You know, I had to run 6 to 8 miles a day, and then I went to school and came home and worked out. You know, I mean, that's where my head was. So one morning before school, I was getting ready to go on my run, and then another God-planted person, our maintenance man. At our apartment in Davis, he was a Christian, and he had talked to us a little bit about mission work that he had done. Well, this one morning, I'm running out to go do my thing, and I started walking down the stairs, and what I know today is it was the Holy Spirit that said to me, you know, you spend all this time working on your body and getting healthy in your body. What about your spirit? What about your soul? And I went, whoa. So I stopped, and I went up to Dennis, and I said, hey, tell me a little bit more, you know, and what's this thing, the sinner's prayer? And so he started talking to me, and then he said, well, do you have a Bible? And I go, well, yeah. So I went in, and he started reading out of the Bible, and he said, do you want to say the sinner's prayer? And I said, yes. And so we held hands, and we prayed. And as we're praying, it was just something very awesome changed in me. And I'm not sure what it was, but all I know is after I received, you know, Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, I opened my eyes, and it was like this curtain that was lifted, and I knew without a doubt that Jesus Christ was Lord. He was the Son of God, and that was it, period. Well, I went on fire. He's crying, I'm crying. We're just like, ah! So I didn't even go run. I got in the shower, and I couldn't wait to get to school. I got to get some water. And so I get to school, and I'm running down, you know, the amphitheater, and there's my two friends there, and I'm telling them, guess what? Oh! And we go outside, and they're jumping up and down. They're crying. We're crying. Everything's just awesome, you know. And so that day, we went to Berean's. I forgot to bring the book. And I got this book, and it was called The Forgiven. And has beautiful artwork in it, and it talks about steps to Christ. And I'm just like, I can't wait to get home. Because, man, I'm telling my husband, this is it. You got to know this is what's going on here. You know, I'm ready to just save the world. Well, meanwhile, I think this was the first time I experienced, and I think at the time I didn't know this, but I know today, spiritual warfare. Because while all of that was happening with me, my husband was having a horrible day. That was the time, you know, when insurance was just becoming mandatory, where you absolutely had to have it. Well, he didn't have any yet, and he got into an accident, and it was his fault. And so he's at home, and he's like depressed, laying in bed, just, you know, and I'm like, come to Jesus. You gotta come to Jesus, man. I found the way, you know. He's like, whoa, you know, I can't do this, you know. But you know, God is good. And after that day, little by little, we started going out to warehouse, and I sucked my husband in with the music, you know. So he was out. We were out there, and yeah, and you know, within a, I'm not sure if it was that same month, but within a year at one of the Easter services at the memorial, my husband went forward, and he also gave his life to Christ. And within like 2 years, my daughter, my husband, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, we were all, you know, it was just this coolest thing. It just exploded, you know. So let's see. Now, I would love to say that I haven't had any struggle since that happened. I have not fallen, you know. Halo stayed right on there, right? That's not the truth. In fact, I've had many, many struggles, and many times I've failed and fallen. But you know what? Through his grace, I've always stood up and continued my walk. And, you know, it wasn't until, and then this is really what I wanted to share with you guys tonight more than anything, is God's love and just how enormous it is. You know, I had talked about getting myself, I was in that position where I couldn't receive love from other people, and I couldn't give my heart fully because something bad would happen, you know. And so that has been like a biggest, I think, barrier for me, you know. And even though I knew that Christ was Lord and he was my personal Savior, it was kind of out here and up here, but not really here. And within the last year, it's just about a year ago, I actually was able to receive fully God's love in my heart. And, you know, I felt such shame for my lack of trust in him. I went into a really deep depression. And actually, this was pretty recent. This was around Christmas time. And, excuse me. And, I'd never really experienced depression like this before, but it was debilitating, and I couldn't even get up off the couch, really. I would just sit there, and had no feeling of joy, no feeling of nothing. I was just flatlined. And we were invited to go to a Christmas party in the South area, and it was that night that it was just storming. I mean, beating rain. I mean, you couldn't even see with the windshield wipers going fast, you know. And so my husband's driving. We're going about 75 miles an hour down the freeway, of course. The rain's pouring, and he's got Christmas music full blast in the, you know, in the car. And my head was really loud as well. So everything going on in here was loud. And out of nowhere, I heard a voice. And I heard through all of that, I heard God say, "Do not despair, my child. You have been with me a long time. And nothing is going to ever separate you from my love." And I just was like, oh, whoa, where did that? And I didn't say anything to my husband. And we went and socialized and everything. And then we got back in the car, went home. And as we were getting off our off-ramp, and this is going from the South area to the North area, so it was quite a drive. We were taking the off-ramp, and all of a sudden I realized that that pit in my gut, that horrific, dark feeling that I had been suffering from, was gone. It was totally gone. And I just started crying, but I still didn't say anything to him. So I was like, I gotta wait and see. Is this really going on here? So I wanted to wait till I went to bed and see how I felt when I woke up in the morning. So I woke up in the morning and it was the same. And I got up, you know, before him, and I went out, and I, you know, I have a little thing I do, a devotional, and I'm sitting out there, and I was doing my reading, and then my husband got up and he sat down. He started his, and I said, "I just have to tell you what happened to me," you know, and I shared it with him, and I just cried. And, you know, that has not left me since then. You know, I still have really low days. I mean, I can go gray, and, you know, and everything's not, we all know it's never going to be just perfect. But even so, there is the love of God so deep in my heart today that I feel such a need to give it to all of you, you know, and to the people I come, I feel as if there is a purpose. You know, there was that time in my life, like I said, that, you know, I did ripping and roaring and crazy, you know, I'm not the same person I was then whatsoever. But I did have a lot of shame, and today I really know that my experience can benefit other women in so many different areas, other people for that matter, you know. And the other thing I wanted to share with you is, lastly, is that when I used to read the Bible, every time I read the Bible, it was in the negative. When I would read the Word of God, it always was negative for me. If it had anything about, you know, I can't even think of an example, but I was very condemned. I always felt, you know, condemnation. It was always in a negative tone. And today that doesn't happen for me. Today when I read the Word, you know what? It's just, it's love. You know, it's a book of love. It's a book of hope. You know, my mind has been going all week with scriptures and, you know, and it's just joyous. It's just joyous. This is the answer, you know, to everything. And with that, I just want to finish up with some scripture, Romans 8:37, that says, actually Romans 8:38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, nor the future, nor any powers, nor height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks.